Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Text Wars, May the Text Be With You, by Whitney Dineen and Melanie Summers, narrated by Avery Reed and Alexander Sendes. 1. Serafina. As a Libra, I'm all about the balance. I've recently begun to sing my astrological motto to the tune of Meghan Trainor's song, All About That Bass, because why not? Every morning I stand on one foot with my eyes closed and both arms outstretched like I'm trying to touch the opposite walls in my Aries Soho loft. I do this for 5 minutes on each foot and like to keep myself entertained in the process. The problem with being the scale of the zodiac, our symbol really is a scale, is that other star signs often have a hard time grasping a Libra's need for equilibrium. While we all have our quirks, this fundamental necessity for balance can be a real bear, especially when others don't play along, which is a lot of the time. Since I started making my living with my Live for Your Star Sign app, I've butted up against all sorts of people who couldn't care less about harmony. But harmony is the secret to my success. That and sweet treats to keep my creative juices flowing all day long, and sometimes into the night. Understanding trends and knowing how to position your app as the one with the answers to life's biggest problems, all for the bargain price of $4.99 per month, is a full-time gig, and I've sunk so much time and money into this business, I need it to succeed, no matter what I have to do to make that happen. As I get to the part of the song where I belt out how I'm bringing booty back, my front door slams open, and the best assistant slash programmer slash neighbor to ever inhabit the body of a 15-year-old girl charges into my inner domain, upsetting the tranquility of my early morning routine. I lose my balance and tip sideways, landing on the beanbag chair to my right with an unceremonious thump.
Sarah, you won't believe it,
Charlie yells while waving a piece of paper in the air and hopping around like her shredded jeans are on fire.
I got into Yale.
Are you serious? I ask, scrambling to get up, but somehow managing to get caught in the zipper of the faux fur cover. Charlie gives me a look of concern.
You okay?
I'm good. Miraculously, I manage to free myself and stand up.
Commence celebrating.
We jump up and down and squeal before I ask the all-important question.
What did your parents say? Will they let you go?
I hold my breath while working to contain my excitement. I'm worried they're going to say no, as their daughter is only 15. Having said that, Charlie is a certifiable genius who took the GED and graduated from high school in the middle of her sophomore year, during her fourth suspension. She has a penchant for repeatedly breaking into the school's computer system and renaming the students according to her personal thoughts about them. For instance, her arch nemesis, Madison Parker, most recently became Buttface McGee. Her crush, Jacob Fien, was awarded the moniker Hunky Pants McHottystein. I know I shouldn't find it funny. I am, after all, an adult. But at 28, it's pretty easy for me to slip back into teenage Serafina and want to stick it all to the mean kids. While Charlie and I found the monikers highly entertaining, not to mention justified, Principal Fox did not share our enjoyment. My mom says I can't go anywhere until I prove I'm mature enough to handle myself. Charlie groans while collapsing on my overstuffed, butter-colored sofa. Her mother, Martha Jenkins, is an esteemed heart surgeon with a limited sense of humor. In fact, now that I think about it, I can't actually recall the sound of her laugh, which is pretty shocking since they've been my neighbors for 3 years.
What does your dad say?
Lauren Jenkins is a play-by-the-rules circuit court judge who is always at odds with his fiery daughter. As her advanced calculus teacher, Mr. Banks, pointed out on multiple occasions,
a bored Charlie is a bad Charlie.
Not a particularly kind thing to say about a teenager. But then again, Charlie had just hacked into the school's computer system and renamed said teacher Bad Breath Banks. As much as Lauren and Martha love their offspring, and they really do, they don't get her, which is probably why she started hanging out with me in the first place. Charlie's eyes twinkle.
Dad said that if I can keep my job with you and stay out of trouble, he'll let me start next year when I'm 16. She looks up at me hopefully and asks, can you keep me employed for that long? Please say yes, because if you don't, I will probably accidentally hack into the government's computer system and rename all of the senators or something. I sit down next to her and reply, I'm pretty sure my Live for Your Star Sign app will keep us both busy for at least that long. In addition to dress for your star sign, eat for your star sign, work for your star sign, and decorate for your star sign, we're in the process of adding a date for your star sign feature. I tell Charlie excitedly, we've had over 100 local test subjects sign up for our trial dating feature. Can you believe it? Of course I can, she says enthusiastically. I love this girl's raw excitement about life. When will we know if it works? As soon as you upload everyone's info, we'll set the algorithm loose and see what happens. Looking around at my silvery gray walls with sharp pops of colorful artwork, Charlie replies, I'll do it today. I hope you're going to fill out a questionnaire, too. God knows you have no social life. I am. I figure it would be irresponsible of me not to participate. Plus, you'll finally get to go on some dates. My young friend always tries to push me into the dating world, which, frankly, has not been on my radar at all. When you're busy launching the most comprehensive lifestyle app to ever hit the market, other aspects of your life suffer. My social life, for instance, is practically non-existent. Charlie pulls at a handful of micro braids that frame her gorgeous brown face. I think your letter of recommendation is what got me into Yale. You were such a superstar when you were there. My endorsement only got you so far, my friend. I'm pretty sure your near-perfect SAT and ACT scores are the basis of your admission. Yale is big on prodigies. Before I can comment further, my phone rings. Not recognizing the number, I pick it up and say, may your stars be in alignment today. This is Serafina. I know that it's a little out there, but trust me, this stuff works. Hi, comes a hesitant voice on the line. My name is Valtrout Hemper. I'm a producer at Wake Up America here in New York. First of all, Valtrout? I know it's a German name, but in my esteemed opinion, it's an unfortunate one as it brings to mind one of those singing stuffed fish that people used to hang on their walls. Hi, Valtrout. What can I do for you? I put her on speakerphone so Charlie can hear what's being said. We're looking to do a Shoot for the Stars episode here at Wake Up America. We came across your app and thought it might be fun if you came on and hosted a segment on dressing for your star sign. Hal and Lacey have been a staple in my morning since I was in college. It's all I can do not to scream my excitement. A segment on Wake Up America will launch my app into the stratosphere. I sit dance in my spot while I say, that sounds doable. When would you like me to be a guest? 1 week from today. Will that give you enough time to get your models and their wardrobes ready? Charlie was typing away on her laptop and turns the screen toward me to show an animated GIF of a cheerleading squad jumping up and down. Then she hops off the sofa and imitates the movements herself. That should be fine, I tell the producer. How many looks do we want for each sign? We'll only have time for one, but we'd like you to cover everything from casual to formal, depending on who will wear it best. We'll give you a budget to pay for the models. Most stores will either give you the clothes or let you borrow them if you mention their name during the segment. My body starts to vibrate in anticipation of my first ever national television appearance. I feel all floaty, like my essence is lifting out of my form and hovering somewhere above myself. Before it can float to Brooklyn, I say, sounds terrific. If you send me all the details, I'll make sure to give you the best fashion segment you've ever had. I don't know how, but I manage to keep my composure and not sound like I'm about to eat my first hot fudge sundae after successfully losing 20 pounds. Well done, me. Great. And FYI, we have someone coming from NASA the same day. We thought it might be fun if you gave him some fashion tips as well. Absolutely. If you ask me, those scientist types could use a little input on the more sensory applications of life. Valtrout says, We really want to play up the juxtaposition between the scientific and the popular culture views of space. The two aren't mutually exclusive, I tell her. Just because science doesn't give credence to astrology doesn't mean astrology isn't a relevant science of its own.
That's exactly the kind of thing we want you to say on air, the producer tells me.
Buoyed by her enthusiasm, I add, astrology has been practiced for over 2,000 years, far longer than most scientific fields. If you think about it, 200 years ago, people didn't even know enough about germs and viruses to realize that washing their hands was a fundamental deterrent to illness.
I am so glad I called you. I think this is going to be a real winner of a segment.
I'm sure it will. After I hang up, Charlie and I stare at each other for a full second before we both dance around the living room, screaming like fools. Once our initial burst of enthusiasm is over, there will be more. I suggest, celebratory donut?
This calls for two, she says.
Oh, to have a 15-year-old's metabolism. But you know what? Who cares about calories? Because I just got the best news in the 2 years since I launched my app. We hurry out of my apartment and take the elevator down to the main floor. Charlie chats away about how sick this is going to be. Apparently, sick is the new cool. As I listen to her, a tiny seed of worry starts to grow in my belly. Die-hard astronomers don't generally mix well with people from my world. In fact, scientists usually disregard astrology as a parlor game. As such, there's a very good chance that if I don't get the upper hand with this astronomer right out of the gate, he may very well try to make me look like a moron on national television, which is pretty much my worst nightmare.
2. Ben.
And then Chewy scooted his butt across the living room rug for 10 minutes straight while Don complained about how my dog was ruining his 19th-century Aubusson carpet. And it's my fault the little guy's anal glands keep getting impacted. What do you think, Ben?
I think I wish you would stop talking. Carla Jameson, our senior data analyst and, according to the mug she carries everywhere, world's best dog mom, has not stopped talking since she walked into my office 12 minutes and 36 seconds ago. I swear the woman has mastered the art of keeping up both ends of a conversation, even while doing the kinds of calculations that would cause the average physics student's head to explode. If you don't answer her in a speedy fashion, she'll answer for you. Her mouth moves nonstop all day long. There are 6 of us in total on NASA's Earth 2 TRAPPIST-1 exoplanet research team. I was tapped to lead our little group of geeks as we analyzed the habitability of the 7 rocky planets in the TRAPPIST-1 solar system. 5 of our team are introverts, including me, and the 6th is currently nattering on about her labradoodle's hindquarters like I'm thoroughly invested in the topic, which I'm not. While some of us occasionally lack social awareness, ahem, Carla, we are all exceptionally bright and get along well considering most of us would rather be crunching numbers and hypothesizing about growing food on another planet than actually conversing with other humans. As the team leader, I'm lucky enough to have walls and a door to my office that I can shut when I need silence, like I do right now. I've had enough of Chewie's bodily functions and fluctuations to last a lifetime. Picking up my phone, I tell the imaginary person who hasn't called to, "Hold on a sec," then I shoo Carla toward the door with an apologetic look. "I've got to take this. Can you please shut my door?" As she turns to walk off, she's still talking about her dog, but now the unlucky victim is Alec Maestas, one of our junior analysts, who is about to get his daily Chewy update. I sit back in my chair, holding the receiver to my ear and nodding for good measure in case she looks back. After all, I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I'm liable to scream if I hear the words anal sack again. Through the glass wall, I see Alec giving me a dirty look as Carla descends upon his desk. I offer him a satisfied smile, then type sorry, not sorry in our private chat. He sends back a middle finger emoji in return. I'm about to reply with a gif of Han Solo shrugging when my boss, Dev Grover, walks in and shuts the door. "Good God, you'd think she would just take the dog to the vet already. Wow, just wow," he says, sitting down on the opposite side of my desk. "Speaking of wow, I've got the opportunity of a lifetime for you. Really? I ask, not liking the look on his face, which is a cross between trepidation and excitement. Giving one firm nod, he says,
You know how we're always lamenting the fact that we missed NASA's glory days, when the entire nation would stop everything to watch a shuttle launch?
Yes, I already hate where this is going.
And you know how, when you took this position, I mentioned you'd be the face of our department when we needed to drum up publicity?
I also recall you saying that particular scenario would likely never come to fruition since no one is interested in space exploration anymore. I don't know why I think pointing this out will change what he's about to say, but I suddenly feel exceedingly nervous.
Yes, well, it turns out all of that is about to change, he says with a wide grin. A Kalem supercluster-sized opportunity has popped up, and we finally got a chance to earn back the love of the masses.
His face morphs into something more sinister as he adds,
We might actually be able to steal some of the attention away from those Mars bastards.
Dev's a little bitter that he wasn't put on the Mars team when it got started. He's been one of NASA's top astrophysicists for close to 30 years, so he should have been a shoo-in for the team. Somehow, a certain congressman's son-in-law was given the last spot, so Dev wound up here in New York working at the Goddard Institute on a project that will likely not be completed in his lifetime. Or mine, possibly. People think marathons are long, but they've got nothing on space exploration. I wait patiently for my boss to tell me exactly what this huge opportunity is.
You, my young friend, are going to be a guest on Wake Up America next week.
Raising and lowering his eyebrows like an old-time comedian, he says,
Exciting, right?
There are a lot of words I'd use to describe what he's asking me to do. Most of them are four letters and not considered polite. Exciting is not one of them. Why not get Carla to do it? I suggest. Dev tilts his head in a you-must-be-kidding sort of way.
We need someone with stage presence. Charisma!
I take off my glasses and rub the bridge of my nose. Have you ever heard anyone describe me as charismatic?
Me, just now, Dev says. Remember the speech you gave at Clarissa Henderson's retirement party? You had him rolling in the aisles.
That was because a bee landed on my hand and I screamed like a little girl for 10 seconds straight.
I don't remember the bee, but I do remember the laughter.
So do I. That's why I'm not going to do the show. I glance out at the bullpen and say, Pick someone else. Ewan would be great. He could do his C-3PO impression. The audience will eat it up. Dev turns around and looks at the team. They're all tapping away on their keyboards, looking totally engrossed in their work. Ewan picks up his nasal spray, parks it halfway up his nose, and takes a whiff. Turning back to me, Dev says,
Him?
Maybe not, but also, not me. Dev makes a little clicking sound with his tongue.
Sorry, my friend, you're the best-looking one of the bunch, and if there's anything we know about regular humans, it's that they're far more likely to listen to good-looking people.
Sliding my glasses back on, I contort my features, doing my best to look less attractive. What about you? You're good-looking-ish.
I'll tell that to my wife,
he answers with a wry grin. Then, shaking his head, he adds,
Can't be me. The top brass wants young and hot. I'm over 50, and when I sit, you can see my love handle spilling over my belt. That doesn't play well on television.
My palms feel clammy at just the thought of appearing on television.
If you go on the show, I'll give you my ticket to Florida for the next launch.
Oh, that bastard! He's offering me the one thing he knows I want most in the world, the chance to go to the mothership, the Kennedy Space Center, and be part of the excitement of a launch. Only department heads get invited to those, and it's the most thrilling thing anyone in the astronomy world can do. Not only is there a tour of the facilities and front row seats at the launch, but there are parties for days afterwards. Wild ones, apparently, with poker, booze, and hot women. Although that could just be an urban myth like Bigfoot or girls who love geeks. I'm about to say no when Dev stands.
Good. Glad that's settled.
Dev, is there anyone else? I ask, my stomach squeezing at the thought of going on live television.
Nope, you're my guy. And don't worry, because you'll be fine. In fact, you'll be better than fine. You're going to be the next Neil Armstrong, because you're about to make one giant leap for nerd kind.
With that, he walks out, leaving me to stew in my own juices. They say that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger, but I'm guessing they didn't try to increase their adolescent popularity by running for junior class president. I still have nightmares about standing in front of an auditorium full of pubescent humans who jeered their way through my speech about my bad boy math club antics. Apparently you can't win over a crowd of high school kids with stories of that time you pretended you solved all four of Landau's problems. Weird. Anyway, as a 31-year-old man, I've forgotten most of what I said, but the dawning awareness that I was committing social suicide is something that will always feel fresh. I suppose the what-doesn't-kill-you people are referring to things like sore muscles from an extremely hard workout, or perhaps going through a temporary but difficult time, such as your parents' divorce. I was 7 when that happened, and as much as it sucked, it doesn't accompany you everywhere you go for the rest of your life, like a fear of public speaking does. I forget public speaking. I don't even do small talk with strangers. In fact, I once sat beside a beautiful woman all the way from L.A. to Sydney, Australia, and didn't say one word to her, even though she smiled at me several times throughout our 22 hours and 12 minutes together. Not one. I wasn't even bothered by the awkward silence because for me, it was far more pleasurable than trying to come up with even one conversation starter. Being on Wake Up America is going to be like competing in the Olympics of small talk. And I'm going to come in dead last.
3. Serafina. Everything I know about modeling, I learned from watching America's Next Top Model. Luckily, that should be enough to get me through hiring models for my upcoming television segment. Yesterday, right after getting the call from Valtraut, Charlie and I spent the day shopping in Herald Square. Turns out department stores practically bend over backwards to loan you whatever you want if you'll mention their names on national television. I kind of wish I'd known that little tip when I was young and broke. Not that anyone would have believed my claim that I'd be promoting them on television. Since this week has been one of the hottest starts to July on record, we decided to go with 12 summery outfits. They vary wildly in style from each other, but I wanted to make the differences very obvious for viewers. When we got home, buried under a mountain of bags, I called several local modeling agencies and set up auditions for models. I requested all kinds of women, from a size 2 to a size 20, all ethnicities, a variety of ages, and I even asked for short women, which in the modeling career means 5'7". Rude, I know. Charlie is currently sitting at my kitchen counter snacking on mixed nuts. Typical Scorpio, craving salty over sweet. I sit down next to her and grab a donut. We Libras are the opposite. Give us a sugary treat any day and we'll be your best friend. The models should start arriving in a few minutes. Are you excited? I ask my young employee. I guess, although I'm totally annoyed by what the mainstream thinks of as beautiful. The standard seems to be set to make normal women feel bad about themselves. After savoring the remnants of Bavarian cream in my mouth, I reply, yeah, but I'm the one picking the models. Don't worry, I'm not going to exclude anyone. In fact, I was thinking I could use a 15-year-old goddess for the Scorpio outfit. What do you think? Are you game? For real? Charlie jumps up in excitement and starts to catwalk around my loft. After one pass, she sings, I'm too sexy for the stars, too sexy by far. Right, said Fred, couldn't have sung it any better himself. I tease her. Who's that? The guy who sings that song? Oh, I only know it from TikTok. Ah, I say with a nod. Sometimes I forget Charlie is part of a whole new generation that I don't quite understand. 28 isn't old, but in the presence of a teenager, it often feels that way. Not 5 minutes later, the buzzer starts ringing and doesn't stop for the next several hours. The rest of our day is spent deciding which models to hire after seeing them in a variety of outfits. To say I'm exhausted is an understatement. I'm starting to regard Tyra Banks as something of a superhero. When the last women leave, Charlie collapses on my sofa and declares, I'm pretty sure I'd hate being a real model. We can only hire 11 of those ladies, and the others get a thanks but no thanks. Talk about always feeling rejected. The universe has much better plans for you, my beautiful genius. But for one day, you get to strut your stuff on the runway. I say with a wink. Now as to what you're going to wear. I hurry to the clothes rack at the back of my living room area and pull out a gorgeous and shockingly bright red dress. I bring it over to the couch where Charlie is sitting and declare, "Bold and dangerous are in your DNA. What do you think about this?" Sitting up, she studies the vibrant slip dress. "Maybe if we pair it with some leopard heels and purple belt or something?" "I leave it in your hands," I tell her. Then I literally put it in her hands. My phone rings a minute later. It's the producer for our segment on Wake Up America. I put her on speakerphone before saying, "Hey, Valtraut, what's up?" "I just did a little research on our NASA guest, Dr. Williams, and discovered he's a Gemini. I thought it would be fun if you could bring in a sample outfit that would be suitable for him." "Oh, I could." I sit down on a huge beanbag chair that's positioned across from the couch Charlie is lying on. "I need to know what size Dr. Williams wears." "He won't have time to try it on or anything. I thought you could bring in a male model for the Gemini outfit." "Sure." I try to sound excited, even though that means the bright yellow jumpsuit I already picked out for Gemini won't get seen. Poop. I've already chosen the models, so I don't think I can switch any others out for men. But let's face it, most of your viewers are probably women. 79%, so we're fine with only one male model. "I'm really excited about this episode, Serafina," she tells me. "If it goes well, we'd love to work with you in the future on other segments." Holy crap. The key to all business success boils down to marketing, and there is no tool as effective as getting your product in front of a large audience. And free publicity? Well, there's nothing better than that. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to impress Valtraut. I want to do all kinds of segments for her. "I'm excited, too," I tell her. "I'm always up for a new adventure." "Great. We'll see you on Monday, then. Have your models arrive by 5 a.m., so we can make sure everything is ready to go by airtime at 7. When they check into security, they'll be sent upstairs to the dressing rooms to meet with you and get ready." "Super!" I hang up, no longer annoyed that I have to get a male Gemini outfit and a new model. Being that yellow is the Gemini color, I'm hoping to find a yellow suit or some chic yellow cropped pants that I can pair with a smart pair of saddle shoes. I'm going to make sure my Gemini outfit will be the star of the show. My segment has to go perfectly, which of course means getting on Dr. Williams' good side. Valtraut needs to be impressed with me enough to have me back again and again. The good news is that Libras are very social and get along with everyone. So this should be an ace in the hole for me and the future of my app.
4. Ben. My alarm goes off at 4 a.m. and for a moment I'm completely disoriented. I allow a nanosecond of thinking that I can go back to sleep when my eyes spring open. Today is my segment on Wake Up America with Hal and Lacey, which means I'm going to humiliate myself on live television. Full tilt boogie panic ensues. Throwing off my covers, I sit up, displacing my tabby Mr. Spock, who has nestled under my arm. He opens his mouth to hiss but holds back, then snuggles himself back into the blankets. Mr. Spock is like the feline version of the Incredible Hulk, always ready to lose it. I wouldn't be surprised if his temper is what landed him in a shelter in the first place. My phone rings, and I see it's my mom calling. She lives outside of Portland, where I grew up. I swipe the screen to answer while stumbling into the bathroom to brush my teeth. "What are you doing up?" I ask her, even though I already know.
"I was worried you'd oversleep," she says.
My mom still thinks I'm a kid incapable of setting an alarm. "So you got yourself up at 1 a.m. to wake me?"
"It's no trouble,"
she answers.
"I wanted to tell you I know you'll be brilliant today, just like you are every other day."
"Oh, thanks," I tell her. I truly love my mom, but she puts the mother in smother. At some point, I hope she'll realize I'm a competent adult. Based on the facts before me, though, I'd say there's a low probability of that ever occurring.
"Don't be nervous. You'll be great."
Thanks. How does one go about not being nervous? I ask sarcastically.
Slow, steady breathing, she answers, ignoring.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?